tonight, we need to look at some very, very serious issues that I am firmly convinced and convicted of as a pastor that you must know as a church. You've got to know these things because of the depth of deception that's taking place in the media right now around the world. Frankly, I have never seen this in my lifetime to this degree. And there may be a high probability that somebody's in here tonight or watching right now by internet TV that have been duped by what's coming through your smartphone or your personal device or TV. It is remarkable what's happening regarding Israel, the Palestinian Hamas issue, world opinion, and the constant volleying that's going back and forth between the Israeli government and the U.S. government. And we're going to be talking about these things tonight. But before we do that, I want to read a portion of Scripture to you that is very, very appropriate. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I want you to hear this very, very clearly. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 5, verse 1, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know." That is a mandate statement. You don't need to have an alarm go off in the last days because you're going to know something. Something's going to become very obvious. "You yourselves will know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren," notice the contrast, "they will not escape. They will be tricked. They won't get it. But you," verse 4, "brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep." And I want you to underline that in verse 6, because there's a lot of people sleeping tonight, and it has nothing to do with it being tonight, "as others do. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night." He's talking about sleeping through the culture and sleeping through the warnings. Verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Why? "For God did not appoint us to wrath," that is God's judgment being poured out on earth, "but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep or be alive or dead, we should live together with him. Therefore," verse 11, "comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." There's some tremendous statements in this great declaration of the Apostle Paul as he's announcing to the Christian, you will not be duped by end time events coming because you're going to be plugged into the Bible and you're going to know how to think. You're going to know how to conduct your life. And listen, you will be like the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament. You're going to be able to look at the world events, and in light of your biblical worldview, with Bible open, you're going to be able to judge what you hear. This is normal Christianity, what I'm talking about. Seriously, God help us. If we cannot discern the times and the seasons when the Bible tells us, you will be able to. And so for us as a church, I'm thankful for you. You are discerning, and you know what the Bible says. But this is unlike any other time, and we're going to talk about these things tonight, unlike any other time that I have seen in my lifetime concerning the stereo events taking place. What I mean by stereo, meaning, and I'm going to miss a bunch, but that's okay, there's just so many. The issue with the rise of Russia, that's a biblical event. Global economic peril, that's a biblical event. All talked about in the Bible. Listen to this. Israel being surrounded by enemies in the last days, that's in the Bible. Listen, the Jews wanting a temple to be built. 2 Thessalonians, it's in the Bible. They're talking about that and they're pushing it now. All these various events that are taking place. The decline, listen, the decline of the United States and its power and the West, why and how is that in the Bible? Because the Bible says in the last days, as we mentioned a few Sundays ago, that when a Muslim coalition that involves the former Soviet Union, Russia, the land of Magog and Tubal, will come against Israel in the last days, all the nations of the world will simply say, why are you doing this? Nobody stops them. And tonight, there is no way, don't kid yourself, there is no way that the United States could do or will do anything regarding Vladimir Putin and Russia. Russia is free to do what it wants to do. This is exactly what weak leadership produces, anarchy globally. And the world is coming unhinged. Why? Because the world believes it can start tampering with what is civil, what is normal. And there's an advent of an Islamic caliphate that is not just sweeping the Middle East. Don't be blinded either. It is happening all around the world right now, from Indonesia all the way to Iran. These are very amazing days, church, that we're living in. And so listen, before we talk to our guest for a moment, I'm going to ask the guys really quick to queue up. Let's go to the map first. I'm going to kind of throw these guys a curveball. Let's go to the map that I gave you guys earlier tonight. And here you go. And this map is now even outdated. All of you look at this map. You see, there's Israel right there. See the green part? That's the size of New Jersey right here. There's Israel. There's Egypt, which right now, by the way, is somewhat cordial to Israel. By the way, that's biblical. In the last days, Egypt is somewhat cordial. Egypt will not be in the coming Ezekiel 38 battle. It's not listed. And then, believe it or not, Saudi Arabia is being cordial to Israel right now at this hour. Egypt and Saudi Arabia want America to get out of the factor because these two nations want Hamas completely destroyed. Did you know that? They are encouraging Israel to press on. Things, King Abdullah is fighting for his existence in Jordan. Jordan wants to leave Israel alone. But they're having a tremendous pressure right now from jihadists on the inside that have made their way in from Syria. Here is Iraq. It is tragic to confess, but nearly 5,000 U.S. lives have been lost for nothing. Iraq now falls and has fallen into the hands of Islamists, and that's history. Syria, unbelievable rampage and division and war among Islamic factions in Syria. When I said the map is outdated, it's because the yellow should also now include Turkey. Turkey, in the last couple of years, has turned hostile towards Israel, but now more than ever, Turkey is absolutely anti-Semitic, and its leader, Erdogan, is committed to shutting Israel down. Libya, just this week, in fact, less than 30 hours ago, Libya has just gotten so dangerous that the United States has shut down the embassy in Libya. We've pulled out completely from that. Tunisia, out of control. Sudan, I don't need to talk about Sudan. Northern Sudan is absolutely under the power of Muslim Islamic terrorists. I need to hurry. This is ridiculous. Yemen, Islamically controlled, violent, dangerous place. You will not be vacationing in Yemen or Amman. You will not. Where is Qatar? Right there. Oh, right there. These guys right here, and these guys right here are funding, flowing, sending money to Hamas. To get them to destroy Israel, and this should be yellow as well. Why? What's the point? Israel is surrounded. It's all biblical. It's supposed to happen. Christian, you need to know that. It shouldn't surprise you. Now, this is what you've been seeing. First slide, you guys. This is what you've been seeing, and I want you to know this. This is all over the world press. First of all, let me say this. We are very sad, and I do not condone, and I do not in any way revel in this child's pain. Do you understand that? I want you to hear that loud and clear. This is pathetic. This is terrible. Okay, but you're hearing on the news that Israel did this to her. Okay, next slide. Whose heart will not bleed over this situation? This is disgusting. You should do everything possible, it's war. There's always collateral damage, but you should do everything you possibly can to keep children from being injured or damaged in any way, shape, or form. Next slide. When the little ones get to be a certain age, this is what they can be looking forward to regarding Hamas in the south and Hezbollah in the north. And for those of you who have the stomach, go on YouTube and you can watch these things in horrific graphic detail. Next slide. These are young kids. This is normal, ladies and gentlemen, in the Hamas Hezbollah culture. Normal. It's taught in their schools, which, are you sitting down? You and I fund their schooling, which includes this type of teaching. By the way, doubt what I just said. Don't believe a word I just said right there. You go find out if that's true. Next slide. They're learning how to assemble and dismantle assault rifles in their mid-teens. Let me ask you, if you were to ask them, what do you intend to do with this knowledge? And by the way, again, you can go online and you can watch them. You can go to various websites and they'll translate it into English. Do you know why? Do you know what they're learning this for? They all say the exact same thing. To kill every Jew they come in contact with. Next slide. Nice signs, by the way. Nice font, nice printing in English. Crush Israel, hate America. Usually it's death to America, death to Israel. By the way, this is known as the Great Satan in Islam. Okay, and this is its child, they say. They've tried to remove this for a long time and it doesn't work. So now for 50 years, they've been going after this. They've been very successful. But never no more successful than what's going on right now in this current war. Is that the last one, or is there one more? I forget. Okay, death to America, death to Israel. These are Islamic fighters. Death to you. Listen, if they could get their hands on you, you'd be dead. You will, but not me, I'm nice. If you're in the United States, you are the enemy to them. Next slide. Israel, your days are numbered. For world peace, Israel must be destroyed. Think about that for a moment. I had videos I wanted to show you tonight, and I was talked out of it. Probably a good thing. No, you couldn't handle it. I mean, it was Christians being crucified in Mosul. Crucified to death, not one, not 10, not 100. For those they didn't crucify, they had them get on their hands and knees and they put 45s either in their mouth or in the back of their heads. Christians. Why? This is the March of Islam. Islam believes worldwide that the caliphate, now's the time. The destruction of Israel and the destruction of the United States will lead to the Islamic caliphate, which the Crescent moon of Islam, some you see closed and some you see open. The closed symbol is when Islam rules the world. That's their goal. It's not going to happen, but they don't know that. They believe. You say, well, I don't believe it's going to happen. It doesn't matter. They believe it's going to happen. And so this is a very, very remarkable time in which you and I live in. And I know Washington, D.C. is just a little less than 3,000 miles from here. But if you were to go there today and see the presence and support for Hamas and Hezbollah in our nation's capital, you'd be shocked. There is a global worldwide push and effort that has been very effective in getting the world to turn against Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, for the record in this church, I don't care if I speak to any other people anywhere else, it's you I'm concerned about. Let's remember this. This battle has been going on since May 14th, 1948. Because Israel exists. And what's happening is in exact correlation and agreement with the Muslim Brotherhood Charter, which you need to go read on your own in English. In the Muslim Hood Charter, Barack Obama has five senior officers or advisors who work for him who are Muslim Brotherhood members. Look them up. Qatar, Turkey, fund Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood in America sponsors MSA, the Muslim Student Assembly or the Muslim Student Association on your campus. In their charter, it says that Israel must be destroyed and all Jews. So what's going on? I am going to try to get another perspective. Hopefully I'll do this right.
Hello?
Amir.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good. How Amir, we hope that this all works fine, and if not, I'll do my best to call you back, so you won't have to dial back. I'll call you back. But listen, first of all, tell us briefly what it's like to be in Israel right now. What's it like to be there, and how did this crazy thing start?
Well, as you all remember, everything started a few weeks ago with the abduction of three Israeli teenagers, and Israel, of course, realized only once we found their bodies that they were executed about 15 minutes later. But throughout the time of the search for the bodies, we rounded and arrested a lot of Hamas operatives simply because we knew that this is a Hamas operation. Hamas felt that Israel is becoming very aggressive with all the arrests, and so they decided this is the right time to start another round of violence. And they started launching roughly 100 rockets per day. Now, Israel showed restraint, and we asked them to stop, and we actually said that if they will stop, we will not retaliate. We gave them a couple days, and then once again we said, we will answer with no fire if you will hold your arm. They actually escalated it, thinking that Israel will be too embarrassed, and they had no clue that Israel is too serious. That reminds me of what Hassan Nasrallah from Hezbollah said in 2006. He said that had he known that Israel would respond in such a way, he would have not started this whole thing from the very beginning. Well, Hamas started it, and they won't stop, so Israel had to start an air campaign where for the first 7-8 days we just had attacks from the air, trying to convince them to stop. They wouldn't stop. In fact, the thing that was the last straw was a group of 13 Hamas terrorists that infiltrated through a tunnel into an Israeli kibbutz right next to the border. Throughout the fight, we managed to kill all of them, but they killed two Israeli soldiers. But that woke us up to understand that if we found the Iron Dome to respond and to actually protect the Israeli skies from the rockets, we have absolutely no answer to the hundreds of tunnels that Hamas has been digging for the last few years. And Israel decided that if that's the case, there is absolutely no other choice but to have a ground invasion into Gaza.
Now, Amir,
yes.
Listen, when you say tunnel, when you say tunnel to an American, that's what we dig at the beach when we're playing with our kids. You're talking about a tunnel.
I'm talking about something that is 5 foot to 6 foot tall, and it's about 30 to 40 feet under the ground. So you're talking about shafts that are coming from the surface down, and then they go horizontally all the way towards Israel. And every large tunnel that is about 1 to 2, sometimes even 3 miles long, has some offshoots, some branches. So if you think that the terrorists can enter only from one place, you're wrong. They could enter into the tunnel from different places at different stages along the way. Now, the reason why we couldn't see those tunnels being dug is because the main entrance is inside houses, kindergartens, mosques, inside hospitals, clinics, and playgrounds. So, you know, you can't really do anything.
Right. Hey, now Amir, you hit something that we need to talk about. In the West, and for that matter, the world, Israel is this, which is amazing to me. I mean, the neighborhood is so huge and so rich with oil and so big and mean, but Israel's the bully here. Israel's the bad guy here because Israel is shooting and blowing up innocent children, Amir, right? They're blowing up innocent children in schools, and that's what the world is being told right now. Tell us about what's in those schools and how is it that Israel winds up, or does Israel inflict pain against these kids? In other words, tell us what's really happening regarding these schools.
Well, you have to understand something. Israel probably is the most humane military on planet Earth. And the reason why I'm saying that is nowhere in the history of warfare has an army of one country supplied food, electricity, hospitals, and medical care to the enemy. That's the first thing. Second, at no point in history, an army that was about to bomb the enemy dropped leaflets first from the sky, asking innocent people to leave, then made phone calls and text messages asking the people to leave. Then what we call the roof knocker, knock on the roof, we would send a little tiny rocket that makes no damage just to scare them so they can leave. And only then we will drop the bomb after we have a drone with a camera that makes sure that most people, if not all, left. Now, we have to understand that even, and I was at the airbase just a couple days ago watching those videos, and the commander of the squadron told me that they are so disturbed by, you know, targets that might have civilians, that when we are launching the real rocket, the real bomb, we can still laser guide the bomb away from the target while it's on its way if we find some innocent civilians suddenly walking out of the house or around the house.
Right.
Now, casualties are in large numbers only for one reason. This time, everything, I'm talking about the piles of rockets, the launches of the rockets, as well as the tunnels, are all located in civilian places.
Yeah.
Now, Hamas is not letting the civilians leave. We are not going to let them continue launching rockets, so we have to drop the bomb.
Right. You guys, for those of you who are not aware of what the tactic is, not only does Israel, in fact, I've been to many airbase visits in Israel, and I've watched attacks that had gone on previously in a briefing room on film. And Israel sends these warning shots that Amir was talking about. They're a rocket. It's like a flash bomb, but it's overhead. And tragically, you'll see goats and sheep run, but you don't see humans run. Why is that the case? Because Hamas believes, which Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, Hamas is a humanitarian organization. Hamas, on film, ladies and gentlemen, will take children, their own kids, in the streets, whatever. They will grab the children and use them as shields as they are both shooting or launching rockets. Why? Listen, everybody, why would they do that? Why does Hamas and Hezbollah use women and children as shields when they're engaged in warfare? Why would they do it? Why would they do it? They do it because they know that that's a deterrent to Israel. Use your first grade psychology here, ladies and gentlemen. If Hamas uses a child in front of him to shoot at you, number one, you know a whole lot. Number one, you know that your enemy, Israel, has a hard time shooting children. That, thus, you grab a child. Make sense? Come on, people. You got that? Number two, it also speaks about your worldview and your value of life. You don't value life, so you'll take an innocent, indefensible child and dispose of them. Why? Because that's how you're brought up, and that's your religion, and that's the way it is. Think for a moment. The world tonight outside these walls is, they're not thinking. They're not thinking. And we've seen this time and time again. Yes, Amir.
Yesterday, the leader of the Hamas military wing, obviously he's underground, he released a tape, an audio tape, and he literally said, "We want death. We love death. Death is our mission. They sanctify death while we sanctify life." Mm-hmm. And that is a huge difference. Now, don't ever sell me that idea that we worship the same God. When we have in Deuteronomy 30, God says to Moses, "Here I put before you evil and good, life and death. Choose life."
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, okay, Amir, explain to us from your end. By the way, we've been very blessed here in the States lately to be hearing from Michael Oren, who's been a great champion for Israel, and he's been all over the media, all the news outlets, doing a great job for your country. But tell us, Amir, in your opinion, why is world opinion tonight as it is against Israel? Why would the world be so vehement against Israel at this moment?
Yeah, well, there's two levels to that answer. The first level is, of course, I believe that there is a satanic blindness caused by Satan himself. The Bible says in Isaiah 14 that he is the one who weakens the nations. Yep. And in the book of Revelation 20, the Bible says that he is all about to go and deceive the nations. So Satan deceives the nations, weakens the nations, and blinds the nations. However, the tactic is very simple. How do you deceive someone? By not telling him the truth, by selling him a lie. Now, the lie is that we are, first of all, we started this, and we are targeting civilians. We're targeting civilians. Now, you have to understand that all the coverage, the media coverage, and I've been watching CNN and Sky and BBC, and I've been even listening to radio stations, even in the U.S., all day long broadcasts from is from inside Gaza, showing the misery and the pain of the people of Gaza. Now, they don't mention who brought that thing upon them, only the devastation and the problem caused by the Israeli attack. Now, it's very simple. We've been telling them, if you stop shooting, we will not attack. It's very simple. Nobody's addressing that issue. Nobody's saying anything about it. And unfortunately, that trend starts infiltrating into not beyond the media. Now it's the celebrity. We are seeing some celebrities that are tweeting Free Palestine. It has become a viral thing. Now everybody's talking about Free Palestine, help the children there. Nobody cares about the reasons. Nobody wants facts to confuse them. And that's the tactic of the enemy. The tactic is to give you pictures of one side, to work on your emotions, and to completely distract you from what the issue is all about and how it all even started and how it can end. By the way, for the last 3 weeks, we said yes to almost 5 different broker deals for ceasefire. In other words, we were always ready to stop if they will stop shooting missiles. Well, a couple days ago, we thought that they finally got the message, and they stopped, and throughout the day, they did not shoot anything, and what we did not know is that they were doing so in order to cause us to, to sleep a little bit, and then came a massive attack of both mortar shells that killed 4 Israeli soldiers, and then another group of terrorists using another tunnel infiltrated and killed 5 Israeli soldiers and tried to drag one of the bodies of the soldier so they can later on negotiate on how, to bring it back for some prisoners released.
Right.
In exchange of that. So you're saying they tried everything. From the air, from the sea, from under the ground, from above the ground, they keep failing. But all that people are looking at and focusing on is the suffering of the innocent, poor Palestinians. Trust me, the last thing we want is to hurt that population. We are investing more effort and more energy in trying to avoid these things. You and I know that the Israeli military has the capability of wiping out Gaza within 20 minutes if we really want it. That's absolutely not our goal. But world media is definitely shaping world opinion.
Well,
see also a trend in South America. Brazil called back its ambassador, El Salvador, Bolivia. One after the other, they're calling back their ambassadors, and unfortunately, their media is even more one-sided than the CNN. It's just horrific.
Yeah, you mentioned South America. That is something that I think is going to wake up Americans.
Correct.
Perhaps the fastest. Because much of South America and Central America is under control of the drug cartels, but there are those who control the drug cartels. And those drug cartels traffic in the drugs, which originate in the Middle East. And Islamic, look, the Hezbollah in Colombia, for example, has a huge presence. Why?
Because in Venezuela, they have a huge, also huge presence.
Because the target is North America, the United States. Amir, I want to talk to you about something now that's pretty fresh, in the sense that when it became very clear to the West that Netanyahu's committed to not making this mistake that happened in the mid 2000s, 2006, 2008 time, that he's going to take this through until Hamas is destroyed. And you guys now have almost 100% of your population in favor of his leadership and finishing the job. As soon as that came out here in the West, immediately our administration went into panic mode, and the first act was for John Kerry to fall all over himself and to make incredibly ridiculous statements that now since have gotten him in trouble. And now he's trying to do damage control against himself, literally. But there's something that happened recently that probably few people know of. It's not that it's secret, but can you say anything, Amir, about how Obama has been siding with Erdogan in Turkey, and specifically regarding the Iron Dome, the pressure to punish you guys monetarily?
Yes. First of all, I want to tell you that if I look from the side at what's going on right now, it is fascinating. What we're seeing in the last 2 weeks is that America completely switch-sided. And I'm not saying that as an Israeli. I'm saying that as an observant who is looking and hearing voices not only from Israel. For example, Egypt brokered a ceasefire. Egypt invited Israel and the Palestinians to sit and talk in separate rooms, of course. But still, these are the two sides that need to agree. Well, John Kerry went all the way to Paris and invited the foreign minister of Qatar and the foreign minister of Turkey.
Yeah.
He did not invite Israel, nor the Palestinians or the Egyptians, and these are the three sides that are in the center of the whole problem. Now, Qatar is the financial sponsor of Hamas, and Turkey is the mentor of Hamas. And so the paper that was produced from that meeting was a paper that Hamas is now using to say, finally, America understands our needs and our position. Now, I cannot even believe that I'm saying that America that called Hamas a terrorist organization is now representing Hamas. It's unthinkable. And guess who are the people that are sitting around the table?
Yeah.
That's Turkish and Qatar, and behind the scenes, Iran is dictating also the moves. So if we were thinking a few years ago that when Ezekiel 38 and 39 should come to pass, and of course America is not there to stand by Israel, we're looking at it right now. Now, the interesting thing is a new coalition was formed in the Middle East. A coalition of Israel, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. And all these countries are not mentioned
as
part of Israel in Ezekiel 38's attack on Israel.
Amazing. That's right.
So what we're looking at right now is the complete finalization of the stage for Ezekiel's prophecy to come to pass.
Okay, Amir, listen, we're going to have to, we need to cover some more ground, but we're running out of time. I want to go back to what you just said a moment ago. I love it. But you missed some countries there, and let's talk about those for a moment. If we know the nations named in Ezekiel for this battle, and we do, they're named there in Ezekiel, clearly. And then, as you just said, there are some nations not mentioned, and we know even from other prophetic scriptures that they will be friends to Israel.
Exactly.
But Lebanon and Syria are not mentioned in either side.
Correct.
And I'll tell
you
why.
First of all, I've always believed, and I still hold on to that opinion, that the fall of Damascus will be the trigger for Ezekiel 38 to come to pass. In other words, Syria is not mentioned because Syria will be the reason. The fall of Damascus will be the reason for Russia to rush in, and for all the others, and I'm talking about Iran, I'm talking about Libya, I'm talking about Turkey, Sudan, all of those to join them. And we see that. It's coming to pass. All of those things are just coming into formation before our very eyes right now. Now, make no mistake, besides the Israeli-Arab conflict in the Middle East, there is a Shiite-Sunni conflict in the Middle East.
Right.
And these are the two conflicts that are shaping and forming the Middle East towards Ezekiel's prophecy to come to pass.
Yes. Very, very good. Okay, Amir, with the time that we have remaining, what do you see? We would like to know from your part of the world, from your perspective, what's your gut feel? Where is this going? Will Netanyahu, will they finish this job? Can Israel handle a full U.S. Withdrawal, meaning we'll pull our money, we'll pull our support? What's Israel going? What do you see Israel doing in the near future?
I will probably disappoint you by saying that I foresee that in the next 5-6 days we will have to pull out from Gaza, and not because I want to. I think Israelis are completely united.
Yeah.
In the need to bring Hamas to an end. However, we have a saying that the devil that you know is better than the devil that you don't know.
Right.
And since ISIS comes to power in that part of the world, I believe that Hamas, after what they are suffering right now, will stay quiet for a few years, and that for Israel is better off than having complete chaos that will bring about the rise of ISIS in Gaza. And that's what Egypt is fearing, and Jordan is fearing. Mm-hmm. Jordan and Egypt are not afraid of Hamas.
That's right.
But they're all afraid of ISIS. And they will push us not to completely annihilate Hamas, because it's still better off and controllable and manageable than ISIS, which is probably the most cruel,
yeah,
and vicious group of people that live on planet Earth right now.
Yeah, they're animals. Possessed, I believe.
I mean, you've seen the videos of their execution.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Amir, we're going to let you go. We're going to start wrapping up here. So we appreciate you. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
I love you all. God bless you, and keep praying.
You too, brother.
Thanks.
Well, you guys, as he closing out mentioning ISIS, ISIS is a bizarre group that has come seemingly out of nowhere. I mean, a couple months ago, you'd never heard of them. But yet, they have risen to power so much that even other groups in the region fear them. They are the wealthiest terrorist organization and the most ruthless. I believe, from what I've seen, that they're demon-possessed, because you don't do this to other human beings. I don't think a human can do this to another human unless there's some demonic power, because it's beyond your imagination to do the type of torture stuff that you can see. But these guys are on the rise, and they've got the Middle East. The Middle East is, you guys, look, if you removed Israel right now from the scene, you know from the prophecy that God gave the descendants of Ishmael. Do you remember what the prophecy was? Every one of his brethren will take a sword against his own brother's throat. And even if Israel wasn't there, they would still kill each other. That's what these two factions, these two positions of Islam does. That's what they do. And so you have this scenario in America and in the West. I talked to my friends in England, and they're done. I want you to know that. The Islamic powers in England are just keeping England propped up for their own financial benefit. Parliament, dramatically infiltrated and weakened by Islamists. England stands tonight because Islam wants it to stand for now. England's gone. France is actually, of all places, waking up to the threat. Germany, you know, they're strong, but they've allowed, you know, by virtue of PC political correctness. Now they're regretting it. But what we've seen in Europe over the last 20 years, it took 20 years for Europe to get where it's at right now. The United States in the last 5 years has just been on that track with steroids. It's absolutely amazing. The only hope for the United States, you're the only hope for the United States, is the Christian community that loves God and is willing to stand for their faith. And listen, you can't stop Islam with bombs. I mean, you're going to have to use bombs to stop them from getting to your front door kind of stuff. But you can't bomb an ideology to death. You can only preach the gospel, pray, and present it. The only true weapon that you have against what's going on is to witness to every Muslim you know. And listen, I'm going to announce it tonight. I have zero tolerance for the Christian who just goes, yeah, oh, I know I should do that. I've heard that so many times that I know you're not going to do it. Just get out of the way and let somebody else do it. But you need to go to them and tell them that they are living in their sins, that they are absolutely lost. They picked the wrong God. And they need Jesus Christ. They need the God of the Bible. And you've got to tell them. You've got to tell them. Because, listen, Amir is thinking that this war is going to end or pause pretty soon. So what if it does? It doesn't change anything in these United States. There's so much more we could talk about. Time went by so fast. Look, I know in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus is talking about issues that are very tribulation period type issues. Or if you stretch it out a little bit, precursors that include the tribulation period. But here we are sitting tonight with the United States, and just wait till all of our enemies realize that we are a paper tiger. If I were the dictator of North Korea, I would be thinking this. I've got about 24 months to do whatever I want. If I was Vladimir Putin, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Vladimir Putin's got about 24 months to take all of Ukraine back, and probably Estonia and Lithuania. If I were China, I've got about 24 months. If you're Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, if you're Colombia, you go down the list. The message has been sent to the world. America will do nothing. America can't. When that gets out real clearly and believed by those in other areas that wish our end, it's a pretty amazing time. I am so grateful I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I hope you have him as your Lord and Savior. If you don't have the Lord, you should be getting pretty nervous. Oh, and what else just hit this week? An outbreak. Ebola in Northwest Africa. One guy almost made it. Was it to Minneapolis? Where was he going? One guy almost got to Minneapolis with it and died. Didn't get there in time. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. The Bible says that nations will be at each other's throats to the point where it will trouble people just tremendously, that men's hearts will begin to fail them when they see the ominous things that are coming against the world. The Bible says that just before Christ returns, there'll be pestilence breaking out upon the earth, incurable diseases that will begin to take people's lives. I'm not saying that's happening. What I am saying, without a doubt, I am saying we are watching stage setting take place. And so before you run out of here tonight and just forget about this with the Budweiser or a martini or a line of Coke or whatever you do, you need to really take this very seriously, because everything that we're talking about, and I'd like to have another 4 hours to do this service tonight, is to take an issue and go to a Bible chapter verse. And that should cause you to wake up and sit up, because the Bible is so absolutely true. My Bible says that not a Soviet Union, but a man will command Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal in the last days. I'm not saying it's Vladimir Putin, but I'm going to be surprised if it's not Vladimir Putin, because he is acting the role of Gog, G-O-G. It's a title of a military political leader of that land. He's going to come against Israel in the last days with a Muslim army, it says. It shows you nations that are Muslim in their belief today. Interesting, amazing stuff. Amir talked about Damascus. Keep your eye on Damascus. I was at a doctor's office yesterday, and waiting in the doctor's office, I was looking at a National Geographic. Maybe you own it. And in the National Geographic, there was a segment in there, and it was entitled "The Fall of Damascus" in National Geographic. Something's going to happen. Isaiah 17 verse 1 says something's going to happen to Damascus, and it's going to be so obliterated that no one will ever be there again, ever. You say, oh, that'll never happen. Just watch the news. Something's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. But you guys, the Bible's never been wrong yet. It's not going to be wrong ever. You watch and see. You just watch and see. So, this same Bible says that Jesus loves you. God loves you. That's why his son came, Jesus. He willfully died on the cross for our sins. And once he paid our sin debt, it's called propitiation. He paid the bill. Just like you have bills, instead of you paying them off, they're so high you can't. Jesus stepped in and paid your bill, my bill, for sin. And he rose again from the grave that you and I might have eternal life through him. It's not by any works of righteousness. It's not by any good deed you've ever done. No. It's by faith in Jesus alone. This morning, at an hour that only God was awake, I'm sure, I was called to speak on Fox News, and was it being interviewed by, I think her name, I never get her name right, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, is that her name? And they told me before they went live, you know, they give you this panic look. So you're just looking at this, you're looking at nothing actually. It's pitch black in the room you're in. And so the guy goes, well, you need to be ready. We don't know how long it's going to go, this segment. So you need to be ready to talk. You need to say everything you need to say, whatever you want to say, you need to say it within a minute. But then they could go longer, and you need to be able to kind of milk it and go out for 4 minutes. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm not kidding. I just went, Lord, this ain't my deal. I don't know how to do this. And so whatever. And they go. And so she's talking to me, and so. All I could think about was, I mean, I knew what I was supposed to say. I just didn't know how much time I had. Because I don't know if you guys know what's going on, but the IRS, without you and I knowing about it, they had a meeting. And they had a meeting with a bunch of atheists. And they made some new laws for churches. And the atheist, all we know is that the atheist said, we are so happy with these new laws for churches in America. Well, we don't know what the laws are. They won't tell us. So on Tuesday, a suit was filed to gather that information by the Information Act. We had to petition. Those fighting for this had to demand that the government tell us what the rules are. And how can you come up with rules when you didn't even include us in the rulemaking of it? You included atheists to make rules for churches. Listen, and if we don't keep the rules, then we could be arrested or we could lose our 501c3, which is hilarious because the atheist group that is going against the churches using the IRS as their whipping boy are a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. So what's happened is the atheists have teamed up with this administration and the IRS to punish churches. So that got found out this week. And so we had a chance to go on Fox News and say what we thought about that. And so I knew what I was going to say about that, but I didn't know how much time I had. So I'm getting to the point now. It was this. No matter what I said, and that's what I'm saying to you tonight if you don't know the Lord, I had to say in the middle of that interview, I had to say, at what point do the atheist or the IRS decide that all of a sudden it's a political statement to say Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave? I thought, well, if they cut me off, they can cut me off after that, right? As long as the most important part got out. Do you know the Lord Jesus? The world is off its rails. It's freaking out. It looks like it's flying to pieces. No, no, no. For the Christian, this day will not overtake us as a thief. Everything's falling right in line. It's exactly as God's word has said. Father, we thank you for this evening. We pray that you would bless our many friends in Israel. And I pray, too, for Pastor Corey and our precious Baptist brothers in Gaza, the tremendous amount of Christians that are Palestinians living in Gaza. They love you, and they do not bow the knee to Allah, but to Yahweh. We pray for their protection. We pray that you watch over them. Lord, we pray for the defense of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem as commanded in Scripture. Lord, the part that breaks my heart tonight is the fact that Israel has all the promises of the Bible. America has no promises, but we do as your people. We pray that you'd revive America and that you'd start right here in our hearts, in this church, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.